Where do you go for comics new and old? Where do you see your favorite television and movie stars? And where do you go to see the best in cosplay? Wizard World Comic Con. Wizard World Comic Con offers live entertainment and gaming, comics new and old, cosplay, toys and memorabilia, and a chance to meet your favorite television and movie stars. For news, celebrity updates, and tickets to future shows, go to wizardworld.com. Don't feel like paying full price? No problem. Use promo code CANDAIR at checkout to get 10% off your tickets. So, where are you going to go for your pop culture fix? Wizard World Comic Con. Go to wizardworld.com for tickets.
Hi, this is Lou Ferrigno of the Incredible Hulk. You are listening to the Can Air podcast, and you better keep listening because you won't like me when I get angry.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to comics and pop culture. I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
And I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And we have a special episode for you this week. We are bringing you our, I'd typically say coverage, and we have a little bit of coverage, very little, but we're doing our coverage of the Wizard World 2019 Columbus Comic Con a little differently this year.
More of an experience than coverage.
Yeah. Typically, we just record, 3 to 4 interviews in Artist Alley.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we'll try to grab an interview with a celeb or two and then, you know, fill the gaps in with narration and put it out as an episode. But we never really give our opinions, and I think that's what Wizard's looking for when we read our email. You know, they say they're looking to improve their experience based on our opinion. So let's quit being a bunch of yes men and let's call it for what it is. All right,
they're not here. It comes.
So, but before we do all that, don't forget to find us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air. And if you like what we're doing, want to support the show, head over to patreon.com/CannedAirPod or follow our link on CannedAirPodcast.com. And for $5 a month, you can get access to our Patreon-only show, the Canned Air Patreon Pod. Title makes sense, right? And you get total control there, too. We give you guys the reins to the episode. You tell us what to talk about, and by God, we'll talk about it.
That's I'd incentive. Buy that for a dollar.
Yeah. And we're really racking our brains trying to think of new content to, make the Patreon a bit more spicy.
Mm-hmm.
We want something really original. A really cool album is what I would like to have. Something, I don't know. Very. Will it be? Probably not. But hopefully it'll still be fun and
our version of something else that someone
yes
has to,
yeah. That's what it'll be more than likely. So we'll just have to see what else we have, gentlemen. Jack, you got some news on Wizard, right?
Wizard World Madison is this weekend, October 25th, 6th, and 7th. And if you plan on going, use promo code CANDAIR or buying your tickets online to save 10%.
You
should do it because they are expensive this year.
Yes, they are.
Con tickets are always expensive. I don't care where you're going. They're expensive. For show.
Yeah.
What else we got? Anything?
No. I think that's it.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, let's talk about this Wizard World Comic Con 2019 Columbus, Ohio. My first thing was I was just bummed that it was in October. For the past, 3 years, it's been in July. And
has it for
July or August? Yeah, it's always been August, like hot summer out.
Yeah, I know. I always remember being hot because
it's
like a bead of sweat steadily dripping down the center of my back the whole time I'm there.
Maybe I'm the only one who liked it being in the summer, but it was just a staple of summer for me. And this is nothing that, you know, Wizard World did wrong. I mean, I'm sure it was in October because of scheduling. There's other people that need to use the convention center. Yada yada yada. I get it. But just personally, I was really bummed it wasn't in July or August. So, what about you guys?
I was excited that it was going to be a little cooler because it's been kind of miserable inside there with as many people as there are. It gets pretty
stuffy.
Pretty hot and stuffy, yeah. And that's just a reason to be sick for the week after.
Right.
Incubating all the
fat. Yeah. I was going to say, the con crud incubator. Yeah, yep. Right. Yep. So where do we start, guys? I would overall, quick opinion of the con.
I wasn't very impressed, really, honestly.
Yeah.
Compared to the last 3-4 years we've gone.
Yeah.
So last year was my first year ever attending it, and I thought it was halfway decent last year. And this mm-hmm. year, it just kind of felt like it was, I don't know, yeah, just kind of like a lot of last minute, just kind of afterthought kind of stuff.
Very last lackluster.
Yeah.
The floor design wasn't...
It's like, hey, we only have this many vendors. Let's try and organize it so it looks full.
Let me start this episode really quick by saying I had a great time this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm being serious. Like
I did too.
Yeah. You know, we went Friday night. We went Saturday. And, you know, we not only were there, but we went to the toy store up the street. After the con, we went and had a beer with friends at the arcade. Mm-hmm. So just overall, what a fucking fun weekend it was. Had a great time.
My legs and back are still killing me.
Dead on day. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. But yeah, it was lackluster, especially compared to last year. I mean, walking in last year, you had the Mike's Hard Lemonade thing there that were like giving you free samples, the mechanical bull. There was stuff happening all around you, any which direction you looked. And this year just...
There was a stage, and to the right, there was nothing. It was a big void there.
Yeah.
There was just no big statue of the Hulk like there had been the past couple of years.
It just seemed like someone or something big backed out. And I understand that they probably plan these shows based on the numbers that from the previous year.
Right.
So maybe, you know, they spent too much money last year, maybe. Maybe there was too much happening, and they didn't get a return, so they had to tone it down. I'm no businessman, especially one for Wizard World, but... I'm sure there's a numbers reason as to why that is, you know?
Yeah, it just seemed like some stuff was missing. Like, you and I had remarked that the big t-shirt tower wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
There was karaoke there this year. Was there that last year?
No.
I don't remember.
No, but, you know, it's a funny thing, because karaoke is fucking infectious. I've never done it personally, but I would do it, and if I were going to do it for a first time, I think I would do it at the con.
Okay.
And when...
That would actually be a good place to do it, because... A lot of people go there and do stuff that they wouldn't do anywhere else, like, I mean, cosplayers.
I mean, typically at a con, acceptance amongst your peers is like a big theme, you know?
That's
so
fair.
No matter what you're doing, you're going to get support.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we saw it in action. We saw some tone-deaf people getting some applause that they didn't really earn. But
kudos for trying. I mean, and getting
Hey.
I mean, I did feel bad about the guy in the booth directly across.
Yeah, that would have been brutal, man.
Horrible.
But, when Chris, our friend that was with us, said that he had thought about it, I kind of thought, man, well, if he does it, I'll do it. You know, like I started to think about it, but that was about the time we were taking off for the day. I was like, yeah, let's just go.
Right.
I don't need to answer that question at the end of Saturday when I'm tired as fuck.
I guess my point with that was I don't mind it in and of itself, but it was like almost competing with the other stage. So it was just like a bunch of mismatched background.
Yeah, and the other stage was doing karaoke at certain points as well, too.
Right.
So, yeah, it was kind of confusing when you heard, it's like, I don't know. It's like shit you'd hear at like a country bar or something.
Yeah,
you know? Like,
yeah.
Tone-deaf karaoke, but I don't know. At the same time, I didn't mind it. They looked like they had a game going, too. Like, they had, like a Bop It kind of thing.
Okay, like trivia
and maybe
something.
That's something that Wizard didn't even do. Like, maybe that's just somebody who paid to have a spot and brought their shit in. I don't know. You never know. Speaking of some... Okay. We all expect to get gouged a little when we go to things like this, but did we all happen to see the DeLorean...
The DeLorean you couldn't take a picture of?
Correct. Which is, again, that's par for the course. It's getting fucking ridiculous, though. There was a guy who had a Infinity Gauntlet on his table. And just to take a picture of it was
$2. $2, yep.
Are you serious? I saw that there.
Yeah.
And so I walked by the DeLorean and saw a banner that had a pricing list. And I thought, what the fuck is this? How could you possibly have this much to charge? So there's the basic package, which were all cleverly named, like the McFly package, the Doc Brown package, you know. Like, but it was like just to stand next to the car, like $10. to stand next to the car with door open. And these aren't, I'm just guessing, but this is approximately what it was.
To look at it for more than 30 seconds.
Yeah, with the door open and your hand on the door, $15. To sit in the inside, $20. To get a picture of yourself inside with the flux capacitor in the picture, $25.
What?
Yes, it was meticulous as fuck.
Man. And
I couldn't believe it. I mean, it's... I don't know. If I were putting on a show, I'd be like, dude, that's a bit much. You have a cool car, but I mean, we went to that rinky dink con that had three DeLoreans out front. Right. So it's not like they're impossible to get someone right. else.
He was praising himself that it's one step away from being movie accurate.
It had a lot more bell and whistles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying it doesn't look good, but I mean, some self-respect, you know, like.
I mean, conversely, they had like another booth on the other side where they had like a Jurassic Park, like
the Jeep.
And I walked up to the guy, I was like, "Hey, my kids love Jurassic Park. Do you mind if I just snap a picture of it?" He's like, "Yeah, sure." And I mean, yeah, they charged you to like get in it. They had no problem just walking up and snapping a picture.
And see, I don't know if that's how the DeLorean people were or not, but I would imagine probably not.
No, they had signs all over, do not take pictures of this.
Oh, they did. Oh, yeah. See, I missed that altogether.
Yeah, like all the way around.
I was so flabbergasted by the pricing list. I was like, oh.
Randy was talking to the guy, and he was saying, he's like, yeah, I got people that, you know, will stand out around the area to make sure no pictures are getting taken.
Yeah, it's like a freaking celebrity, like, level...
It's like Lou Ferrigno standing there.
I mean, you know, it kind of is. I mean, you know, these vehicles, like General Lee or the Supernatural car, you know, they're characters just as much as the people who drive them. They really are. But yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And I mean, kudos to the guy for being so passionate and like putting it together and making it look amazing. But I mean, it's a family friendly con. You're going to get kids there.
But we've been seeing the same guy at cons, and this just seems to be like when we first saw him in Cincinnati, it was like 5 years ago, and it was pretty basic. $10 for a picture, $15 if you want to get in it. Mm-hmm. I think that's all it was. And yeah. it's seeing the evolution come around. Yeah.
And he had just finished that maybe a month ago.
He said. Oh, he got some bills to pay.
He's got to make a return on his investment.
Yeah. But I didn't even forgot to tell you the worst part. So I stood there after I read the sign and saw some poor sap walk in who'd paid the money. And you couldn't go and just make your pose. This dude took him over there, like stood him, led him by the waist, stood him in a very particular spot, took his left arm and positioned it on at his hip and positioned his other arm onto the car. He like positioned
a photography studio.
Yeah. Much. He posed them exactly in a particular way they had to be.
Wow.
Was it for the benefit of the picture, or was it the benefit of, okay, don't touch that?
I think that's exactly what it is. Yeah. Okay. The benefit of don't take more than you've paid for. Gotcha. You know what I mean?
Don't break my flux capacitor.
But it was just, it was really gross to see personally, I thought. And, but again, you know, it's always cool to see the DeLorean, even if you can't take a picture of it. You know, you're at a pop culture fest, but I'd rather see the Batmobile personally.
The 66 Batmobile?
No, Keaton. Oh. Keaton Mobile. Yeah,
definitely.
Or a Tumbler. You know, any of them, really.
Tumbler would be badass to see.
That would be.
Just to see how big it actually
is.
Even
the Adam West one. I love that car. I've seen it, but been there, done that. But
not the Batcopter. That thing didn't impress me too much.
Nah.
Big bubble helicopter.
Didn't they have the boat too at one point? Or like a jet ski or something like that? They had like a small watercraft.
The Cincinnati, I think, the one
year. Yeah.
They had the bike, Batgirl's bike, the one year.
That's what it was. Yeah. With the doily, like, lace on.
Yeah.
All right. You know, I guess that's a little bit of our bitching there, right? Do we have any other big complaints, really?
Vendors. There's no toys there. One dump bin, I think, I found of figures.
Yeah.
And that was it.
I'm a toy connoisseur. And I know, again, everybody who attends these things aren't. I was impressed with the level of comics that were there. I will say
there was a good amount,
which is good to see.
Yeah,
because I came home with more comics this year than I think I've ever come home with in a con.
Yeah, I don't usually buy comics, and I got yeah. a few too, yeah.
I came home with a stack of good shit I cannot wait to read. So I was happy that, you know, the primary thing I bought at a Comic-Con was comics.
You know? Those comics you did get, like, some of those were really nice for the, like, really yeah. good value.
I got some, early 80s, late 70s Avengers, you know, taking down the Yellow Jacket, and I got a Silver Age book that's reprint of Golden Age stories, so like Stanley written shit, and oh my god, they're gorgeous. Yeah. I can't wait to display them someday. But A-Team number one that Randy found, and then Inferno City Firehouse from our friends that were there, Brian E. Lau. So I brought home some cool stuff that only I find cool, no one else here would find cool.
It's like the Dragon Ball set that I picked up.
But see, many people would find that cool. Yeah. Many people find that cool. Many people don't find that I found a Sugar Crisp cereal toy. Who gives a shit? Jeremy gives a shit.
I mean, I know it comes with the territory, but I feel bad for a couple of those vendors. Like, you had the Gutter Guard chick there, and I started to ask
her. Didn't you go ask her?
Like, I started to and got interrupted, but it's like, you know, I get they're probably like advertising, but how many people are actually going out there and like, you know, I think I do... I am sick of
I can't see it being worth the money, and these people just keep coming back. There's no way they get a return.
I think that those companies sponsor the show. That's how they get a table there.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Which makes a little bit of sense, because I think that was the only non genre business that was there.
I didn't see State Farm this year.
No.
There was what's the food ordering, like fresh, not fresh time. Like you order meals to your house.
Blue Apron?
The other one.
HelloFresh.
Really?
Hmm. I know the gutter lady. She's like, are you tired of cleaning out your gutters? I'm like, I don't clean out my gutters.
Lady, half
Randy,
these people.
I really do.
It's like, lady, half these people probably aren't getting up on ladders. So, do you see this 8-foot-tall Groot here? He does not need a ladder.
I just felt bad for her. I mean, what a position to be put in.
Boring as hell.
Well, not only that, but I mean, just everyone that walks by is like, the fuck?
speaking from experience, I used to work at a kiosk at a mall back in the day. And yeah, I'm sure she was probably getting the total, like, don't make eye contact, walk on by.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you're invisible.
Yeah.
Poor gal.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Guests kind of lackluster this year, too.
Yeah, they were.
As far as, like, celeb guests?
Well, last year was Jason Momoa. The year before was Chris Hemsworth.
It was just really toned down. It went from 11 to 6, I think, something like that. You know, it I don't know. Again, T-shirt tower gone. Artist Alley seemed very sparse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Last year,
it was spread around.
Was incredible. And I think we boasted endlessly about that. Just the fact that it was the first year at a mainstream con that Artist Alley was packed full of great talent. And when you went to walk down it, you were just elbow to elbow with people.
It was like 2 to 3 aisles of people. This year was...
I think it was two, wasn't there?
Two
aisles that were like really densely populated. Yeah, maybe I'm wrong. I don't recall, but...
2.5.
There we go. We'll meet in the middle. But I don't know. It just seemed very sparse. You know, we went to get interviews, and... Not that I have any problem interviewing the same people, because I have. And, I mean, I did get one interview with the gentleman we're going to be playing here in a little bit. Actually, I'm just going to throw it in right here. I got to talk to James Morris, who's been on the show before out of Nashville, Tennessee, but he does music, writes books, and he's currently trying to get... Well, they started a Kickstarter, actually, on the weekend of the con, the 18th, for a game called Swords and Spaceships that I'm just going to let him explain to you in this interview right here.
Sounds like my kind of game.
I'm standing here at Wizard World Columbus 2019 with James Morris, the multi-talented James Morris, who's been on the show once before. It's awesome to talk to you in person, James. Thanks for taking a few minutes to talk to me, man.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for stopping by. It's great to see you.
So as far as what you've been doing here this weekend at the con, not only are you here, you know, pushing your books and stuff, but you also been doing some live performances as well, right?
Yeah, I'm here playing my music. I do at all the Wizard Worlds I go to. I performed yesterday, which is Friday. I don't remember the time I did, to be totally honest with you. And I'll be performing tomorrow at 1.
At 1 o'clock. I'm afraid by the time people hear this, it might be too late to make it to that. But...
nonetheless, we can push the website and get people to your album and stuff. Looks like you're selling CDs over here as well.
Yeah, we've got my most recent album, Catch Fire, and the EP before that, which is Speed of Dark. We're working on new music, though, so hopefully we'll have something in the near future.
Okay, and you have a digital catalog as well?
Yes, you can find it all online, Spotify, iTunes, all that. We should have links at my website, jamesmorris.com.
Perfect, perfect. Well, one thing I need to talk to you about before we walk away here is you have a Kickstarter starting, or what is today? It's already started.
Yesterday,
wow. For a game called Swords and Spaceships. Can you tell me about this game?
Yeah, so my little brother and I co-developed a sci-fi tabletop RPG, kind of like Dungeons & Dragons, which more people would know the name of.
Right.
And we really wanted to take the science fiction idea that I love and he loves and make it more accessible to the average player, which I definitely count myself a part of.
Sure.
So we took a couple core ideas we see in sci-fi books, TV, and films. And that's, we looked at the duality of a character, which is what they are as themselves and what they are on a ship, like, you know, Han Solo as a person, Han Solo as a pilot.
Okay.
As well as the iconic weapon. So instead of swapping out your gear every time you find better stuff, you can use a huge list of mods we have to make your own unique piece.
Wow.
So that modification and the your character, your gear approach is really what we wanted to capture with this.
The detail, the amount of detail you're telling me is just, it's almost overwhelming. How much time did it take to, and I don't mean overwhelming
in a bad way. No,
I got you. I mean, man, it must have taken forever to put something like this together and make it work correctly.
We've been at it for about a year and a half. Maybe a little bit longer. Seriously at it for a year and a half. Probably 2 years grand total. And we're still fine-tuning it as we're going for the Kickstarter.
Okay.
Which, you know, we've got the development almost done. So that's not what we're looking for. But artists, you know, they can't eat exposure.
Sure.
So we need to have a way to help finance them so that we can get art to include.
So the Kickstarter, by the time it ends, the game will have almost already been developed and ready to be produced, or?
Correct. So we've got almost all the rules, almost everything there is figured out.
Okay.
We just need to put it together in the book, and for that, what the Kickstarter's for is we need art so that we can have it be more than just a wall of words.
And we've featured so many different artists on the show. Maybe someone will hear it and reach out. Maybe, hopefully.
Well, nice. Go to jamesmorris.com, find my email, shoot me one. Let's talk about it.
We'll see what we can do for you, man. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day again to talk to me, man. And we'll push that Kickstarter for you. What day does it end?
Or
are you sure?
I think it's 35 days from today, so
you don't got to do that math. I'll find that and put it
sometime
in that post.
Sometime in November.
Sometime in November. Fair enough.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for talking.
James, thank you.
All right, and once again, that was the interview I got with James Morris. Head over to jamesmorris.com, and also I'll be attaching a link to the Swords and Spaceships Kickstarter to the social media for this episode.
I want the website as well.
Cool. There are a lot of people in Artist Alley that we've had on the show already, which, I mean, isn't Wizards doing or anything, or, you know, anyone's problem then, but ours.
Right.
But, again, I have no problem interviewing someone again for the show. I actually have a duplicate, or not a duplicate, but an interview with somebody from the con that's been on the show before that I'll play a little bit later here. But, that being said, I mean, that was what? Like Source Point Press, those gentlemen we've had on. There's Travis Horseman, who we've had on the show, and then Brian E. Lau and John Orlando, both were
Chris
there.
Chris Williams, who did the summons,
Chris Williams.
Summons book.
I would have liked to have got an interview with him, but yeah, he was busy
the whole time. Every time we walked by, he had his face down on a commission.
Yeah, and I can't blame anyone. He's a great artist and put out some good stuff, so I'd love to catch up with him next time. But, I don't know. It just was very
anticlimactic.
Very thin, yeah.
I guess that's probably kind of the price to pay for being at the same place for 6 years over and over.
Yeah.
And you start seeing.
I mean, maybe it's we've become so desensitized. Maybe it's as spectacular as it was the first time we went. We just don't see it that way anymore, but I don't think so.
No, because this was only my first time being like on the other side of it, not an attendee, and it just. I don't know. Yeah, I just...
Yeah, last year was pretty damn cool. You remember they had, like, a whole anime section that had, like, Japanese vending machines and arcade games. They had... there was a lot of, like... There was a few different T-shirt vendors that I had stopped in and wanted to buy stuff up from because they were pretty cool. Actually, I think we follow them on Instagram now. I still look at their stuff all the time. Mm. So just the fact that there were vendors there that weren't toys that were catching my attention was great. Celebs were nice, yada, yada. Yeah, just, I don't know, just a very boom, 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 boom kind of feel this year. But anyway, is there any other things we need to address? I think it's good that we put these things out on top.
I want to kind of address something in a positive light. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys know, I didn't pay attention last year, but the cosplay this year to me seemed really cool. I was kind of walking around getting pictures and talking to people, and it really kind of made me happy to see there were a bunch of like families there doing like family cosplay.
Yes.
Not necessarily like all like together, but you know, we had one that did like the entire cast of Toy Story that was a family.
That's exactly what I was just about to pull up. That was my favorite family cosplay.
There was another one who the dad was Deadpool, the mom was Freddy Krueger, and the daughter was Harley Quinn. It was a lot of real camaraderie in the cosplay that I noticed, and that was just really cool to me.
I wonder if it just stood out more because there was less people. Because being there on Saturday, I mean, I know I got there a little bit later, but we were usually around about that time, and it seems like it's still pretty busy. But if it was just because the people that don't cosplay were so much less, it was more visible to see the people that did cosplay.
And it could be, and like I said, the first year of me actually paying attention to it, I could say one way or the other. Mm. I saw a lot of people that put a lot of thought and hard work into their outfits. I mean, we had a Mega Man. We had Darth Jar Jar, which just cracked me up.
It was a good... I liked that one better than the one we'd seen in Cleveland. Mm. I don't think it was the same one.
There was a really kick-ass Macho Man Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth. Like, he was walking around with the Slim Jim, was doing the voice. Like, it was phenomenal. Just so many great...
You had already mentioned the group, but, I mean, what a amazing costume that was. Obviously, it's a guy who's on foot and a half risers on his feet.
Pool
noodle kind of things. It looked like to be spray painted. It was maybe made of that kind of material.
That,
maybe
he dremeled the lines for the wood.
Yeah,
do it for the detail. Yeah,
the face was very impressive.
The face was really good.
It was a very cool outfit, and I can't imagine how hot that thing would be to wear.
Oh, I know. Yeah, which is probably a benefit.
You would have to put some kind of ventilation system in that thing.
Oh,
you
totally
would just die, wouldn't
you? Yeah, or just not wear anything underneath it.
It's like the Chewie's the Chewie suit. Chewie's suit from Star Wars that had the built-in, like, the tubes. I tell you guys that from that video when we went to the museum to check out all the outfits, they had built like a kind of like a radiator cooling system out of tubing inside the suit.
Oh, that's awesome.
That also just circulate the water and keep
circulate
cool
okay. air through yeah. or cool water through those tubes yeah. inside the suit to keep him cool.
Yeah,
and I just thought, damn.
Yeah, because that's
hot.
Man, yeah.
Because that was like actual like yak hair and shit. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine how hot that dude had to have been in there?
I know the guy that originally did the all the stunt work for the original Godzilla like passed out multiple times because he was just in a big rubber suit that had no ventilation whatsoever.
No way. Yeah. I couldn't do it. No. I'm claustrophobic, man. I couldn't do it. I'd freak out. One of the coolest things, though, you guys got there before I did Friday because I had to work a little later. So I got there at like 6:30, and I'm walking in the door, and I don't even hit the door, and I hear this. And for those of you who don't know what this is the Coming Out of Their Shells tour soundtrack for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I think Pizza Hut did that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Pizza Hut sold it in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
And boy, to be a kid at that time was fucking fantastic because we ate it up, didn't we?
Heck yeah, we did.
Yeah, that was great.
Did you have that album?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We talked about it a couple episodes back when we were doing the Ninja Turtle stuff.
Perfect. Well, it was funny because, you know, not only that was like the best thing to walk in on. Any listener of the show knows I'm a Turtles fan. So to walk in on these retro suits, you know, from my childhood, playing these songs from my childhood was so cool. Mm-hmm. Now, when we saw him on the second day and Chris was with us, Chris was laughing and having a time watching it. But he looked at me and saw I was like singing along and wording it. The look on his face of disbelief.
That was hilarious.
Like, the fuck? How do you know this music?
Misty was the same with me because I was sitting there just bellowing out right with it. And she was just like, how do you, I've never heard this before. Yeah. I'm like, how did you not?
And it was funny because we were, like 2 aisles away on the second day. Yeah. And like, we were in the middle of a conversation and we heard 2 notes come out of a song and like conversation stopped and we ran.
Yeah.
That was turtles, hilarious. Turtles, turtles.
Yeah. I think I was out doing, I was like walking around or something. I was looking for you guys and I heard that. I'm like, oh, I know where they're at.
Yeah. And you got to give it again to Cato Kaelin. That mm-hmm. dude's got some energy, man. Yes, and he just never freaking stops.
I don't think he takes a break all day long. It seems like he's out there the whole time.
He ducks out a few minutes here and there. I think like when they're doing maybe karaoke, he'll take a break or something. But yeah, for the most part, that dude is out there grinding it. Yeah. And he just makes me tired watching him,
you know?
But he's so good at what he does. And, you know, I'm going to be emceeing at this. Well, we are going to be emceeing at this Torgs thing coming up in May. So, I think I'm going to be looking more to Cato for tips and shit, like watching his
Sensei Cato.
Sensei Cato Kaelin, yeah. But when we first got there and we were watching that first song, he was right next to me. And I thought, man, he's gonna turn and do something. I feel it.
Oh, you know? He's put the mic right in your face.
He's so high energy. So I was like, all right, I'm getting the camera ready. So I just kept it on the Turtles, but ready to turn it at an instant. And sure enough, man, here come the chorus of the song. He whirled around with that microphone. I get the camera in his face. He just, pizza power!
Yeah.
It was so funny. It was so funny. I don't know. You have to. I was going to say you had to have been there, but you can be there. The video's on Instagram and on Facebook. So check it out. It's funny. But anyway.
I have to say that was the highlight of the con for me both days was
seeing the turtles. Mine too, for sure. I mean, seeing friends, of course, but
yeah,
the nerd out shit, definitely.
Yeah. The con wise part of the day, yeah, it was definitely the turtles. Sucked that there was only 3 songs, but those guys had to be dying in there.
Right, in that rubber.
It was a form of validation because, I mean, I talked with you about it, but and I know now you are aware of it, but I have never found too many people who remember it or held it dear, you know, so to see these songs and all these characters out there, you know, bringing it back and shit. And Splinter was getting it that second day, wasn't he?
Yes, awesome. He was.
He was just loving life during that last song.
The rest of the weekend, Misty had pizza power stuck in her head. She's like, I can't get that song out of my head. So then I'd start singing it and just throw it back and make it stronger.
Immediately pull the album up on Apple Music and start listening to it today at work just because I couldn't get it out of my head either. But anyway, we've talked cosplay. We've talked the Turtles. We've talked Cato. What else we got to talk about? Let's see. Henry Winkler. Let's talk about Mr. Winkler.
The Fonz.
Now, we had put in a request to interview with him, and those things are never guaranteed. I totally get that. Yeah. There's been interviews we've been shot down for, and again, I get that totally. These people are there to work. This is their job. They're making money. They don't need us pissants up in their face if they don't want us in their face interrupting the cash flow.
We always know it's a shot in the dark, so it's not a real letdown when we don't get it. So
you never get your hopes up when you go to do stuff like that. And there's people like John of PVDcast who just goes kind of, and I hope he doesn't take offense to me saying like half-cocked, but he's just good at on-spot interviews. I'm not. I need to prepare. Where, you know, he's just seeing what he can get and in that instance getting a conversation. I don't know. I need to go in more structured than that. If I go in cold, just be, hey, how are you? You having a good day? You know,
like what a Chris Farley interview.
Yeah.
Remember when you did this?
Did you
movie?
Like that?
That was cool.
Nobody wants to hear that. But, you know, John can pull it off. Jeremy can't. So anyway, again, I put in the request for Henry Winkler and we had never heard anything back. And just everything. everything I'd always heard seemed to lead that he's just a pretty nice freaking guy.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've always heard.
Yeah.
Accommodating, so, at least.
Yeah.
So I decided, well, I've seen Henry at these cons several times. We recorded a panel of his, like, in 2014.
Something like that.
And I loved it. It was a great panel, Jumping the Shark, which I think he did the same thing at this con a few years later. So I decided, you know, interview or no, I'm going to go up there and get a picture with him and a photograph. And, you know, I'd like to just talk to him for a couple of minutes. And so I walk up there. There's nobody in line. I walk straight up. And I think, like, there's someone else that walks up behind me. And Henry, he walks toward me, but just looks through me.
Yeah.
And says, "What can I do for you?" Doesn't look me in the eyes. Looks past me. And I said, I was here for a, you know, picture and autograph I was hoping for. Yeah, just head up to that table. I'll meet you there. And just starts to go and talk to the people behind me.
That's when, he came to me right behind you. How can I help you?
So I went up there, and there's that dude at the table was nice. And he's like, what picture would you like? So he's like, I guess I'll take this one. He said, okay, cool. And he took it and handed it to me. I said, all right. And I'm standing there, and I turn around, and I see Henry fraternizing with the people out on the floor there who haven't paid. I've paid money.
He's trying to get that dollar bill, y'all.
Yeah. At this point. Okay, well, fucking humor me. I just gave you my cash.
I'm not saying...
And he leaves to go talk to them. So I got frustrated. And I looked at him. I was like, what am I doing? I was like, what do I do? He goes, he'll be back. I was like, okay. So he came over. He goes, okay, what's your name? I said, Jeremy. He said, oh, right. And he started writing it, and I spelled it because it was full steam ahead. He wasn't stopping. And I said, hey, you know, I just wanted to, you know, tell you I'm a big fan, and I saw your panel a few years back. We all did. It was pretty cool. It was, you know, I took things from it. You talked about your learning curve growing up, finding out you were dyslexic, blah, blah, blah. And, I just wanted, you know, it would have been cool just to talk for a quick second. Again, it's not like there's a line out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I gave him money.
It was a Friday night. There wasn't a lot going on.
There was
not a lot going on at all.
Yeah,
and this wasn't like you were in there Saturday in the thicket of it.
There was no extent. There was nothing to my comment other than, oh, yeah, cool. Thank you. Okay, give your phone to him. And so I gave him my phone and he took a picture. He said, all right, man, thanks for coming out. And just immediately started to push me away. I was like, hey, you know, really quick, you know, I'm doing Wizard Press. I wonder if we could maybe just get a 5-minute interview when you have downtime here. And he said, I only do press on Thursdays, which, okay, that's fine, too.
Yeah.
That is fine, too. And I'm sitting here bitching, not at Wizard, or how do I say this? I'm not bitching about the interview. I'm not bitching about the fact I didn't get my interview. I understand that wholeheartedly.
Right.
Bitching about the fact that I gave over money. And I was going to, man, I was sitting here talking about it. When we came into this episode, I was like, I want to say this stuff, but I want to be kind of gentle about it. But I'm getting pissed sitting here talking about it now. And
I mean, it was your hero. It was somebody you looked up to. It was somebody
I'm jaded, you know. Yeah. And the last time I did something like that was meeting Adam West. And man, I only, like, at the time I was a little regretful because of how much it cost. Now that he's gone, and I was such a fan of Batman growing up, I'm glad I have it now. And maybe someday that'll happen with the thing I got from Henry Winkler. But I honestly, like, I have this thing signed and I don't want to put it on the wall with the rest of the stuff. The experience was so bad. I could give a fuck. I don't want it up there.
There's no personal.
It was sterile.
To it. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's it matter? I might as well have bought on eBay.
Right.
It would have been cheaper and been a better experience. But it's irritating to also be brushed aside so easily being podcasters. We have influence, okay? I'm sorry to hit the table. I'm getting pissed off. But we have influence. We've had people come on the show and say thank you. I was at LA Comic Con and people came up and said they bought my book because they heard it on your show. At this con, Travis Horsman said he sold books based on the fact that people come up and say, I heard you on Canned Air.
Nice.
We have influence. Okay.
You, you guys have been around 6 years. You you pride yourself on your professionalism. This isn't like we just started up last night.
And I don't even say we as in Canned Air. I say we as in the podcast nation, because we get a bad rap. We get a bad rap. And just hearing the word podcast, sometimes you see life leave people's eyes. You know, if you dress it up as internet radio, it's like, oh, really?
Yeah, it makes it sound a little bit.
I've never heard that. Well, you've heard of a podcast. Oh, yeah. You see, immediately there's a, some kind of dismissal to it. And,
oh, I thought celebrities did podcasts.
Well, and that's the thing. Celebrities do do podcasts, or at least did. As we have found out through our personal experiences, that we're a lot of podcasts are getting a cold shoulder now by these people. And it doesn't make sense to me. Okay, you might be irritated with... I mean, I've heard some podcasts out there that just, like, make me want to claw my own eyes out. I'm so embarrassed for this person I don't know by the dumb shit they're throwing at this celeb that's giving them their time, for sure. I don't feel we're those people. I feel there are some interviews that have bombed, but I think for the most part, the people we've had on have had a good time. Just doesn't make a lot of sense, because, again... We definitely have influence.
Wizard knows that too, because there's a lot of
Wizard knows and appreciates that, gets that
the press credentials to be able to do the coverage. So they,
I'm not talking about Wizard here. I'm glad you said that, because that should be stated. That should be clarified. I am no way talking about Wizard because they have always appreciated the podcast and the influence that comes with it.
Yeah,
I'm talking about Henry Winkler, and I'm talking about.
Get off, Henry.
I get being jaded with the job, and after it's been how many years since he's been the Fonz? Fuck,
yeah,
like 82, 83, something like that. So I get it. I get being jaded, but man, I'm giving you hard-earned money. Just humor me a little bit. Humor me a little bit, and it's put me so far off that like I don't want to even bother talking to these people anymore. Really. On a personal level, I'll do it for the show, but on a personal level, I will never buy an autograph again. Proclamation. I will sign a document right here.
It's just hard when you meet people you've looked up to, and it's,
yeah,
I mean, I kind of had the same thing, 'cause I've always been a wrestling fan, and I was waiting for you guys Saturday, and Honky Tonk Man and Kevin Nash walked by, and so just like seeing them, you know, people always say like, I thought you'd be bigger or something like that. It's just, it kind of takes the luster out of it a little bit. Just,
yeah, I get it. And you know, we've become desensitized to it totally. Right. 'Cause like the first few people we had on that most people, when you say drop that name, they're like, who? Like, had us so excited we were giddy for weeks, you know, just giddy for weeks. And sitting here editing that, I've just got the biggest smile. And like, still to this day, you know, we get to talk to people that we deem our heroes, but it's just much different. You just get to the core of it. They're people.
Right.
They're just people.
Right.
You know, enough said.
It's different with Stan Lee when they had a line of 1,000 and you're getting pushed through. But with Henry Winkler, with nobody in line.
That's just it.
To sit and.
Yeah.
You
appreciate that someone's coming to see you for a little bit, not just be like, okay, what's your name? Give them your camera. Okay.
Not only that, then we went, you know, after that we left, we came back the next day and we talked to our friends who are also have a booth there, you know, an artist who went over, Brian went over there to talk to him and was hoping to, you know, give him a copy of his book. And he just said he had the worst experience. I don't remember details, but said he had a horrible experience. And we talked to somebody else
who had
a bad experience. Like everybody we talked to that had met him was jaded. And that just is not cool, Fonz.
And I've always heard good things, even though, well, he was on the radio, the local rock radio station here a couple weeks ago or months ago. And they just talked. He sent them a bunch of books for their kids or something like that. And they have nothing good stuff. But of course, they're semi celebrities too. So maybe you have to actually be in the loop and known somewhat for them to do anything.
I mean, he is a person. Maybe he's just having a bad weekend.
Yeah. Maybe he was upset because of the turnout. I don't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
But that's besides the fucking point.
Yeah, exactly.
That's beside the
point.
When a performer takes stage, if they've had good or bad day, you've got to smile.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's your job. Yeah. You're a fucking actor.
You're a monkey. Dance.
You are an actor being paid. Dance, monkey, dance is right. All right, I'm sorry about my tangent. I had to go off. I feel a lot better now. That's the best I've felt since the whole shit happened.
Podcast be therapy.
Isn't it, though? It really freaking is. It really is.
Hey, but it's our honest feedback.
It's our honest feedback, and a lot of it was nothing Wizard World could control, so I hope they take no offense to what we said here. Again, we were honest. There are some things they can control.
Yeah, trying to help them out.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. It's better than just, again, being a bunch of yes men, right?
Exactly.
So take and do with that what you will, Wizard. We hope it was helpful and not offensive in any way, but... Man, the after party we then had, after the con was over Saturday, it ended at 7, we met at 8 o'clock at the Old North Arcade on High Street in Columbus, Ohio.
It seemed like it took me forever to get there, taking High Street all the way up.
I couldn't believe you took High Street.
We were going to jump on 315 and go around, but then we didn't, and Misty even thought about 4, like you said, going forth, but... I think because the GPS put
Fourth
us out
and
onto
Summit
High, so
are High Street's worst enemy. Because High, you know, it's natural reaction. It's like, you know, I'm on High Street. The place is on High Street. I might as well stay on this street.
There's so much construction
and traffic and people and just scooters and just anything you can think of. But yeah, the biggest part for me was getting out of the parking garage. Once I hit 4th, boy, I coasted the rest of the way. I was there in like 5 minutes.
I don't remember what way I went, but I didn't. I coasted too. I must have went.
You
must
have went 4th. Was it like two lanes going north?
Yeah.
You went 4th. Yeah.
Yeah, because I map quested the Goodwill parking lot where Rally's was.
Oh yeah.
So I just ended up on Hudson and I was right there.
I should have. Well, I guess I ended up all right.
We were following the map quest and it's like 2 miles. All right, light, go, light, go, light, go. Look at it. 1.8 miles. I'm like, come on. How far is it up here?
Your arrival at destination time just keeps ticking up.
Yes,
but no, about 11, 12 people show up.
That was a pretty good turnout.
Out there, a decent turnout. I want to thank everybody who did come out. I guess.
Big time.
Again, Chris Minnick Weber, you know, supporter of the show, patron. He came out.
A few guys
I work with. Yeah, they're all right by my book. People we used to work with, you and I, Jack. Just good friends of the show and glad that everyone came out, played some arcade games, drank some beer, had some chicken and waffles and, good times. Camaraderie, right?
Strong beer.
Yeah. 9.9, wasn't it?
9.95.
Woo, I was feeling it. 9.95. I love any excuse to play some Spunkadelic. And being that we were already talking about the Turtles, Jack, drop that fucking needle. And tell us what we got on the website.
Go to Gander Podcast. I was thought you were going to try to make me say something about a song or something like that. Go to GanderPodcast.com where you can see show highlights, guest info, listen to the show, follow us on all our social media, become a patron, buy some merch, watch some YouTube videos. And if you'd like to be a guest and promote your work, not ours, send us an email on our contacts page.
Makes more sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And if you find us on you can find us on Twitter at CandairPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air. And a lot of the things we've been talking about right here on this episode are available in those formats as well. You can see the pictures of our night at the arcade and of the con, of the amazing cosplay we saw. All of it's on there, so check it out. And also, I forgot to mention at the top of this episode, I certainly should have, is that this episode is going to be taken and made into a video just of all of our pictures. So this will be on YouTube where you can, it won't be up as quick as this episode is. If you're listening to this, you know, right when it came out, it's not going to be available. But what, a few days?
Yeah. Can you do it that quick?
Me? I thought you were doing it.
Oh.
You're the video guy.
Yeah, I should be able to get it within by the weekend. That should be easy. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right. I'll drive you. I don't have a whole lot to send, but I'll send you what I've got.
Okay.
We'll get that done.
So, any potential vendors listening, Candair will be hosting the Torg Gaming Summit next May in Lewis Center, Ohio, on May 30th. If you know you are interested in participating, booths are going to be early bird special priced until February. Check us out at torgevents.com. That's T-O-R-G events. And click on the shop button and that's where you can get your tables. But it's going to be fun. We're going to have guests, celebrities, comic vendors, toys, games. I mean, it's going to be a blast.
and we're going to be there. We're going to be emceeing and pulling strings and shaking babies, kissing hands. Not quite in that order. But, yeah. Very good. Very good. And our other podcast, What If, at whatifpod.com. If you search Candair Productions in your podcast player of choice, you should get this and that show. Searching What If series works as well. And I only preface all this because there are multiple shows out there that have What If in the title. So finding
just a few.
Yeah. So we're the one with the yellow text and the blue space background. But yeah, on our other show, What If, we're about to release actually tomorrow. By the time you're hearing, they might be releasing at the same time, actually. The Halloween episode, we talk about what if vampires really existed. The precautions we'd have to take on the daily just to avoid certain death or immortality, rather. Right?
Yes.
What else have we talked about? What if Bigfoot had actually been discovered? What if we could control the weather? What else?
If the Thanos snap was real.
What if the Thanos snap actually happened? A lot of, and you know, I've gotten some feedback on that episode, a lot good feedback, saying that's stuff I never thought about that the movie probably should have addressed. You know, like phasing in and out of each other, people who are in traffic or on airplanes when they phase back,
come
like,
back and just
or
even
lip
worse.
Back. Excuse me, but
Yeah,
so let those be the seeds of intrigue that bring you over to whatifpod.com and check out our other show there. And Wizard, no hard feelings. I hope you didn't take it bad. We didn't mean to. We're not coming on here to badmouth you or talk shit or anything. We're just sharing our experience, and we hope it goes into planning next year's. And again, we had a great time this year. I had fun.
We'll be there next year.
We'll certainly be there next year. Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Thank you for setting us up. As...
Not to meet Henry Winkler.
No.
But we'll be there. I think that's going to do it for this week. So until, or for not this week, this isn't the week episode. This is just a special episode. That's going to do it for this episode. So until next time, I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
And I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And keep watching the skis.
Are you tired of seeing your teen or young adult struggle on a path that clearly isn't the right fit? Is your teenager confused about which direction to take after high school? The future of work is changing rapidly, and our kids need to know all of the options available after high school so they're empowered to make the choice that is best for them. In each episode, we explore the latest trends that are shaping the opportunities of today and tomorrow. I'm your host, Betsy Jewell, and this is the High School Hamster Wheel Podcast.